I want to refer just for a couple of minutes back to last week's message on the Magi. Sometimes, let me just say it this way. You know, we really don't know how old the baby Jesus was or the little child was when the Magi came. And so just for sake of accuracy, I want you to know that I recognize that. We spoke, and many times people will push it to the farthest extreme because they're trying to show that the Scripture is more in-depth than what we sometimes put in our Christmas plays. We put in our Christmas plays the baby in the manger and the Magi are all there. When in reality, the Bible tells us, as we saw last week, the Magi came to the house where the young child was with his mother. And so some deduct from that, or deduce from that, that the child could have been up to 2 years of age. And the reason they go to that is because it says Herod's scheme and plot was to kill the children 2 years of age and younger. However, there's some difficulty with the chronology of that, because if they found him in Bethlehem, he was born in Bethlehem. And as a child, where did he be? Where was he raised?
Galilee.
Galilee or Nazareth. Yeah, and so it could be simply understanding, just so you understand. I know these. There's some difficulties with the timetable. Most important thing is to know it happened. All right, it's a historical fact. It happened. And the star is something, if you're a kid, and if you're a Christian kid as a freshman in college and you go into an astronomy class around Christmas time, you love to stoop the professors by saying, "Oh, tell me about the Bethlehem star." And people have been scratching their heads on that forever. So the star probably showed up a year and a half to 2 years before the Magi arrived. Because Herod deduced from them when they had seen the star. And therefore Herod then had killed those that were 2 years of age and younger. Do you see the point? The baby Jesus they would have moved out of the manger and in the cave, and he could have been 17 days old. More likely, it would have been at least after his 41th day of life, after her purification and all of that. But if order for him to still be in Bethlehem, he probably was still young and possibly not all the way up to 2 years of age. You see the difference? You see how it works? It's just subtle. It's simply something I wanted you to know, that when you read your commentaries, you're going to find some different things. And my desire to you and with you is to be accurate. And they don't know more refined than that, but there are those perspectives to the story that you should know and be aware of. And I want you to know I'm aware of it. All right, let's go on. Now, how many understand that the devil's ultimate goal is to kill, steal, and destroy?
That's right.
The devil is a thief. He wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy. And what does that mean? What does he really want to do? He wants to completely neutralize the people of God from doing God's plan. How many know God's got a great plan?
Yes.
Come on, somebody say amen. God's got a great plan. How many want to be a part of it?
Yes.
Amen. And say it with me. I am a part of God's great plan. But people fit in with the devil's plan all the time. Terrorists, what do? They strike terror or fear into the heart of people. What happens when fear grips your life? You freeze. You freeze. You get neutralized. Nothing gets done when fear is the primary motivation. You're afraid it's not going to be popular. You're afraid people will hate the plan that's chosen. You fear rejection. You fear failure. But if nothing is gained, nothing is won. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
If Peter didn't try to get out of the boat, nobody would have gotten out of the boat. And he walked on water. The only other one besides Jesus who did. Pretty incredible. If he hadn't have gotten out of the boat, nothing would have been gained. God's plan is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is radically saving people, and nations are changing. Let me just quickly tell you that within the last 3 weeks, the president of Uganda stood before his people and prayed a prayer of personal repentance and national repentance for his nation before God, crying out, God, have mercy on our land. Forgive us. As the president of the nation, forgive us, Lord, from our witchcraft, from adultery, from fornication. Forgive us for drugs. Forgive us for dividing our people. Forgive us for our last 50 years. Remember the Idi Amin and all of those, the murder and the different things. Forgive us for the intrigue. He begged and cried out for God's forgiveness. And this wasn't some New Age prayer. He completes his prayer with a dedication and consecration of himself and his nation to God, and prayed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know what my prayer is? God, supernaturally move on the nation of Uganda and bless them so people can't help but see the blessing that comes. Now, church, how many are praying for that in America? How many know God can do anything? People would have thought that never would have taken place, but it was a genuine Christian humility and turning. Let me ask you a simple question. If you had no fear, if you had no fear, what would you do for Jesus? Turn to each other and ask that question. If you had no fear, what would you do for Jesus? Pastor Kevin, don't you know about our economy? Don't you know that we're in an area that doesn't want Jesus? Don't you know that we're in an area where there's New Age? Don't you know our nation is turning to darkness? Yeah, I know it, but thank God Jesus is alive and well. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus is alive and well, and his people are too. What would you do if you had absolutely no fear? What would you do for Jesus? People need him more than ever, church. They need the evangelos. The evangelist, the evangelos in the Greek, the good news. They need the good news. God can do something fantastic through his people who will, and the name of the message is, fear not. Say it with me, boom it out. Fear not. How many fear nots are there in the Bible? Now, there's a clever thing that goes around, and it goes around the internet, and it repeats, and there's some truth to it, but it says there are 365 times in the Bible where it says fear not, one for every day of the week. In fact, Lloyd Ogilvie, a Bible teacher in Facing the Future Without Fear, said there are 366 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year, including leap year. But God doesn't want us to go a single day without hearing his word of cheer and courage saying, with me, fear not. Actually, there are more than 365 fear nots in the Bible. There are more than 500 times where fear or do not be afraid is spoken of. In the King James, fear not or be not afraid is 103 times. The point is, all through the scriptures, God says to us, don't be afraid. Come on, don't be afraid. No, don't be afraid. If you saw an angel stand right here this morning, would you be afraid? Yeah. If you had an angel appear right in front of you, do you think you'd have a little fear? Yes, sir. Well, that's why the angel always starts with, fear not, pal. That's a little addition there. Fear not, pal or pally. Let's see some of the places where it shows up. John the Baptist, you'll see it up there in Luke chapter 1, 13 to 14. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You'll call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice in his birth. How about Mary? First words to Mary, Luke 1, verse 30. There's the key text for the morning, by the way, Luke 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You have it in your Bible right there in front of you. Turn to it in your scripture. Luke 1, verse 30. Luke 1, verse 30. I'm reading from the New King James. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found what? Favor with God. Fear not. That Greek word is the word phobeo. Phobias? Phobeo. Don't be alarmed. It literally means in the Greek, don't be alarmed, don't be frightened. and don't let that agitation of soul take over. So John the Baptist, Mary, hey, how about Joseph to be her husband? Matthew 1, verses 20 through 21. Matthew 1, 20 and 21. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, say it with me, please. Do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bring forth a son. You'll name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He was just blown away by the reality that he had not inappropriately touched the woman to whom he was betrothed, and she's declaring she's pregnant, and then this man is agitated. You can understand that. It's a very modest culture. None of this took place in those days, or if it did, they would be stoned, or there were other problems. And then the angel says, Joseph, hang on, pal. Don't be frightened. Anybody remember Fiddler on the Roof? That angel, don't be frightened. Anyway, that was a little aside, sorry. All right, so the shepherds, then, they had this same message from God. Luke 2, then the angel said to him, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you, say it with me, please, what a wonderful verse, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you, excuse me, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What's the big words underlined? Please read them again.
Do not be afraid.
What are you going to say to that person God has been prompting you to speak to? What are you going to say? How about the relative that puts you down when the family gets together? Or maybe the person that pushes you away? Maybe, just maybe, God brought you to them. And you stop and you say, I'm not going through that buzzsaw. Forget it. And God says, wait a minute, honey. I didn't always say it would be easy, but I put you in their life for such a time as this. Let's look at the verse. Esther 4, verse 14 is the reference there. If you remain completely silent at this time, Mordecai told Esther, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. They had been told they would be destroyed. But you and your father's house will perish. You won't get the credit of obedience for God, but deliverance will come from some other place. Who knows whether, say it with me please, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I'm not telling you to be arrogant and harsh with somebody, but I am saying don't back away in fear, even though they are rejective at times. Follow the Spirit, follow the prompting of the Lord, obey Him. God can change any heart. How many know people thought Saul would never get saved? He was breathing fire down upon the Christians. And in fact, when they tried to first bring him to the Christians after God knocked him off of his animal, they tried to bring him in. And they said, are you kidding? We're not bringing him in here. He's killing the Christians. But they brought him in. Barnabas brought him forward and they accepted him. And he was a transformer in all of life and history for Jesus, because Jesus was able to reach his heart. Now, look at each other. Go ahead. Just look at each other for a moment. Then you can say to each other, if God can save you, He can do anything. Come on, isn't that true? If God can reach us, He can reach anybody. God knows what to do. What can Jesus do through a people who will trust and believe Him and not fear? Why not fear? Number one, because saints, fearful saints, freeze. Say it with me. Fearful saints, freeze. When you freeze in place, you got that deer in headlights look, because you just heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to talk to Him about me.
Yeah.
I want you to ask Him to come to church. They're going to think I'm crazy. Well, when we get that deer caught in headlights look, you say, you know, you think things like, that couldn't be God. I rebuke you, devil. Get out of here. But God knows what He's doing. And He knows the timing. And how He's prepared hearts to hear the message. Matthew 5. You're the light of the world. Verses 14 through 16. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light then to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whether you know it or not, people are watching you all the time. Do you ever think about that after you've done some really stupid thing? You ever? Listen, I can get frustrated. I'm sitting there working at home and I've got 10,000 things to do and I'm on a time deadline crunch and my computer fails. People on the block can hear me. And I'm sure that's not the time for me to look at them and say, "Hi, would you like to come to church?" But it's reality. I mean, you know, people are watching. People are noticing whether or not we think they are. Fearful saints freeze. The word hidden, keeping it hidden, is the word crypto. And it means conceal and keep it hidden. Your Christianity, by the way, doesn't come with a concealed weapons permit. Shine your light. Don't be afraid. Don't freeze. People need you to have working parts, not be frozen. Shine. The word is lampo. Can you say it with me? Lampo. And it means to beam. Literally, to brilliantly radiate. To radiate brilliancy. Go ahead. Let others see you. Hear you talk about Jesus. That doesn't mean arrogantly shove him down their throats. But you have no shame. You have nothing to be ashamed about. Guys, in this hour where it's confusing and people are afraid and they don't know what they're going to do, we don't know what we're going to do either, but we sure know who has it all in control. We sure know who owns us. We don't have to be shaking in our boots like the world's shaking in their boots. They have no hope. We have all hope in Jesus. We know where we're going. We know who's in control. We know the one who moves the world. Amen. They should be able to look at us and say, "How come you're so at peace? Why are you so calm?" Because of Jesus. And don't kid yourself. I'm scared too, but I got Jesus. Amen. You're in the kingdom to radiate Him brilliantly. For such a time as this. Fearful saints, then, they freeze, but they also faint. Fearful saints faint. 2 Corinthians 4:16 out of several verses. Which cause we faint not. New King James, New American Standard. Therefore, we do not lose heart. New Living is, that's why we never give up. Fearful saints give up. Galatians 6, verse 9 out of several versions. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One more time, everybody. If we faint not. Out of the New King James, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart. New American Standard. Let's not lose heart in doing good. In due time we'll reap if we don't grow weary. New Living. Let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9 out of the Message. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued about doing good. At the right time, we'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. NIV, let's not become weary in doing good at the proper time. We'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. The word weary is ekaleo, and it means to be bad or become weak and fail. Don't allow your spirit to become weak before the Lord. Don't become faint, ekloo, and it means to relax. Ekloo, relax. Well, you mean I can't relax? No, it means you can't let your spiritual strength become nothing. Don't let your guard down. Don't let the enemy jump in and confuse you and deceive you. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't relax away or become weak in your faith. The devil wants to make us so busy and so frustrated and so weary that we get fatigued and say, "Forget it!" How do you know that if you choose to give up, you will have given up just before the fruit comes for the person you've been praying for 30 years. The family you've been begging God for. That family member decides it's time and needs some help. But you walked away. Let's not be in those positions. Don't get weak. Don't fail. Don't relax before the time of the harvest. When the farmer is getting ready to have harvest, how many think he's just slacking back? He's taking his trip to Acapulco about then. Not a chance. Not a chance. And he's getting ready, and his trucks are getting ready. His combine's getting ready. He's greasing the joints. He's doing everything he can because he knows when the harvest times come, it's time to get out and work the fields. And Jesus is saying, it's time to work the fields. Don't give up. Fearful saints take flight. You ever felt tempted to run when the challenge comes? Life hasn't always gone like you desired. Many of you know, heard the news in the last day and a half about the Kansas City tragedy. 25-year-old football star kills his girlfriend with whom he has a 3-month-old baby and then goes down to the practice field, sees his general manager and coach, and while he's walking away, kills himself. And as now, there's a 3-month-old baby without parents. And I've got to say, my heart is grieved for the tragedy, but I want to use it as an illustration. That is running from the problem to the greatest degree you can run. Instead, it takes courage to stop and face it. Don't go hurt somebody else. I can't believe these people. If you want to do away with yourself, don't kill 14 other people or your whole family on the way. And don't do away with yourself. Stop and say, there's got to be something I got to deal with here. Fearful saints take flight. Stand and deal with it. Lives are at stake. Don't strike out at someone else if you're frustrated. Don't hit the fright or flight switch. The devil makes people want to run. What does the Bible say instead? Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Say it with me, the last part. Having done all to stand. Now we'll get to the last 3 chapters of Ephesians. We've done the first 3 so far. But we're going to put a pause as we go through the Christmas season. And we'll get back to the last 3. But having done all to stand, put on the armor of God. You're going to have some blows that come. But you're on the offense, taking it to the devil and bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Having done all, don't run, stand. Fear not, but believe. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. I want you to read this out loud with me. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. The word believe in the Hebrew is the word aman. And it means to build up, prosper, be permanent. Let there be a permanence in your belief in the Lord your God and in Jesus Christ. A permanence, a fixed spirit. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, the Bible says. I will sing and give praise. The word establish is the same word, a man. The word prosper is saluch, and it means to push forward. Believe in his prophets, and you shall push forward in life. Listen to what God's saying. Be in the Word of God. Be in church. Be strengthened. And when you leave here and you go out, you push forward in life. No matter how many obstacles come against you. And church, come on, can you be honest with me? Anybody got any obstacles in their life? Come on, anybody got any obstacles in your life? When you leave here today, you got some obstacles? What are you guys complaining about? No, I'm kidding. So, I mean, all God's kids got obstacles, right? How do you build your muscles? You'll work against an obstacle, generally. You'll work against an obstacle and you build your faith. You come to church and you get built up in Jesus and you realize, you know, I can do this. I can do what God's called me to do. I can be what God's called me to be. I can obey Him and believe Him. We can see this area reached for Jesus or die trying. We're going to believe God. We're going to fear not. God wants you to prosper. Push forward, stand strong, be permanent, have spiritual rebar inside. Don't be afraid for your future, for your present, or for your past. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus personally, your past is under the blood. How many thank God? Yes. I said, how many thank God? I'm grateful. If you've surrendered your life, you've been forgiven by Jesus, you're washed clean, you don't have to fear the past anymore, it's gone. For the present, he's got you right there, right in the palm of his hands. He's engraved you in the palm of his hands, the Bible says. The Bible says the steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord. He's got you wrapped up tight. He hasn't forgotten you. How about for the future? There's no fear for the future. Just a faith in his gracious care and his covering, and the God you've served is the God who's going to see you face to face when you come into his presence. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8, the Apostle Paul, as he ended his ministry and life, said, "But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, Timothy, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Watch this. I have, say it with me please, fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to know in this room how many love the appearing of Jesus. Amen. God, who is so gracious, has you and me in the palm of his hands. He'll care for you yesterday, today, and forever. Some people are fearful. Maybe nobody in this room this morning, but the Lord woke me up at 4:30 this morning with these thoughts, and so I know it's for at least one of you this morning. What about the economy? What about my retirement? Will my rent money run out? How about will my health run out? Then what? Then we'll all be in the same boat having to trust Jesus. And I don't mean it lightly. You'll get to trust God like you're doing now. He's a great God who loves you so much. I want you to turn to each other and I want you to say, "He's a great God who loves you so much." How can I fear not? How can I fear not? Because God is in control. One at a time, please. God is in control. Come on, say it with me. God is in control. Number two, because Jesus has made you whole. When you're forgiven, you're delivered, you're cleansed, you don't have sin ripping you apart inside. Jesus has made you whole. When I gave my life to the Lord and knew I was forgiven, I felt whole again. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand that feeling? Man, thank God. My life isn't Swiss cheese. I'm made whole by Jesus. He's in control. I've been made whole. And guess what? When you surrender to Him, your life is on His roll. Your name is on His roll. We sing an old song, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Yeah. It's good news, guys.
Amen.
Sat a few weeks ago with a lady who I just looked at her. She was very ready to give her life to the Lord. And I asked her, I said, "If you died right now," please don't do it, "but if you died right now, where would you spend eternity, in heaven or in hell?" And she looked at me and tears poured down her face. She said, and then she paused and she said, "No, I know I'd go straight to hell." Most say, "I don't know." She knew. I said, "Would you like to make that change? Would you rather go to heaven?" She went, "Oh, yes, please." So we prayed and led her to Jesus. Jesus knows how to make you whole, how to put your name on His roll, and to let you know that He's in control. How do you activate faith, not fear? You got to make sure you're aligned right with Jesus. And stop this morning, you can look at me and say, "I don't know what you're talking about. That's not where I am at." So my question to you would be, have you lined yourself up right with Jesus?
Amen.
You know, the old phrase, you know, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. If you want to put refreshing water in your bucket, you got to get under the tap. If you want the rain of His presence upon your life, you got to come into right alignment with Jesus. And if you're not, why not? Then you need to repent of whatever it is you may have chosen to do or be instead, where you know you got out of alignment with God. He loves you so much. Just get back in alignment. So, how do I activate faith, not fear? You give Him your life. Oh, guess what? You give it to him again. And you look at me and say, well, I did that. Guess what? Give it to him again. That doesn't mean you have to wrestle with your salvation every day if you're running after the Lord. But you know what? I hit my knees every morning. And I thank God for a new day to be alive, where I can walk with Him and surrender to Him in a fresh way. And when I go to bed at night, I hit my knees. And I thank God for His mercy and grace. And I ask forgiveness of anything I know where I've missed it, if I haven't already done it. And I surrender to Him again. And I just thank God for a brand new day. You surrender to Jesus if you want freedom. You yield to Jesus if you want power. You become His bondslave, a total servant for Him, if you want to have chains broken that hold you in bondage. The Scripture says, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Say it with me. I believed, and therefore I spoke. Watch it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, say it with me. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say something really straight. Okay? Just hang in there with me. I'm going to say this really straight. Some of us need to stop saying really stupid stuff. Some of us need to stop saying stupid stuff. Like what? Stuff that discourages us and damages our faith. Like when I make a mistake and I rattle off the worst self-talk I can think of and call myself an idiot, a doofus. And I do that. I'm guilty. And you know what? When you read in the book, when you read in the Scripture, there's not one place where He says, and Jesus says, you know, you really are idiot. The Greek word is idiotos. You really are that. He doesn't do that. So I'm saying stupid stuff about what He made. Or I start to feel ill and I let my confession become terrible instead of saying, wait a minute, the Lord says healing is a provision of the cross. Now I believe in healing. I believe and have no conflict or contention with doctors. But my first prayer is for healing. Supernatural healing. But if I start to confess all the other junk, I'm coming down with it. It's mine. I got it. Wait a minute. I don't have it. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. We have to line our mouth up with the Word of God. Fear not! That's what He said. Sometimes we think God doesn't see and God doesn't care. The Bible says, I am with you always. Luke 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? This message is supposed to go to how many people? Are you sure? Good news, evangelize. Good news, megas. Great news, the word in Greek is megas. Great joy to all people. You've got their answer all around you. Jesus, fear not, little flock. Listen, I'm as tired as you are of a society in which there are lying politicians, there's intrigue, there's murder, there's cover-up, there are stories not fully told, and families are split apart, and there's fear, there's terrorist attacks. Oh, and I was just describing the world into which Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago. And it's the same today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn to John chapter 3 in your Bible, please. Church, we have a big job to do. We have a big job to do in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Beloved. John the Beloved. The book of John. The book of John. Let's just see it out of your own Bible. Almost the most important scripture in the Bible. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. If you're all there, say, yes, I'm there.
Yes, sir.
John 3, 16 and 17. Y'all there?
Yes.
Read it with me, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Fear not, Joseph! Fear not, Mary! Fear not, shepherds! Fear not, Kevin, Cease and Elaine. I want to say it again and have you put your own name in there. Be out loud with me. Fear not, Kevin. Jesus is alive. And we have Him, the greatest gift of all, to give away. Fear not! We have a big job to do. Amen, people? How many believe God is able to move through your life and mine? Come on, can you say amen? You believe God? I believe, therefore I spoke. And God says to you, fear not. One more time. Fear not. Another time. Fear not. From this side. Not fear. Really boom it out one more time. We'll say it the right way. Fear not. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank You that we don't have to be afraid. What a great God. We don't have to run through life scared. A lot of people are doing that. But we have the opportunity to share You with a hurting and dying world. Just like the world You came to in Your day, today, it seems so remarkably negative, and yet we don't have to be that way. We choose a different way because You've chosen us. You've redeemed us. You've forgiven us. You've delivered us. Free from the past, free from the present, free in the future, because we know we don't have to fear. We're in Your hands. Now bless each one this day, I pray, Lord. And as we go, let's apply this to our lives right where You want it to be, Lord. We pray for our friends. We pray for our family. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we pray that You will move through our lives. In Jesus' name. And they all said?
Amen.
Amen. If you're here this morning and you need the Lord to move in your life and you're wanting prayer, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you'd like prayer for someone else, something's in your heart, you come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. But remember this, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord.